Hello, welcome to the Unsworn Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. We're your hosts for the Age of Sigma Stat Show. I probably should start calling it the Owen Show. I'm joined by Mr. Owen Jackson. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Can we do the customary screen high five? Because everyone loves that shit, right? Bosh!
Boom!
Oh, that was terrible.
Let's go higher. I got this. Yeah.
Oh, go. Yes! Fucking hell. End the show now, right? End the show now.
Yeah, we've nailed it. We've absolutely floored it. Hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to you all. If you haven't joined us for the Age of Sigmar Stats Centre before, it's something we've been doing for a very long time. And obviously, me and LLV used to do the stats before. Just in case, like some dumb fuck on Facebook didn't quite understand. He was like, oh, doesn't matter. It's a long story. Hello, it doesn't matter. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here. Owen, are you well? What's been going on?
I'm very good. Yeah, I think so. A little bit tired today. Had another 5.5 hour game of Warhammer yesterday. I don't know if it's 5.5 hours actually. I think it was 5 hours, but it was a very, very laconic, relaxed game of Warhammer with Chris Welfare, which was fun from the Mortally Wounded podcast.
First time you ever got to play him.
It was the first time I ever got to play him. Yeah, it was great. It was fun. But in the end, I lost, which is not so much fun. But it was cool, yeah. I threw a big dragon and a Frostheart Phoenix. He played the Vargulf, the smash bat, the nuclear bomb.
But he unlike when you played against me, he upgraded it full power.
Yeah, he put plenty of coins in the back of it, and it went, ah! It wasn't actually that peak. It in Gristlegore, he didn't roll enough sixes. It killed 13 Phoenix Guard. And then died on the swing back.
Barely anything.
But then, because he was in Gristlegore, he could fight when he died, and then he polished off the end of the Phoenix Guard. So,
and still
still a reasonable trade.
That's pretty good. That's pretty reasonable, let's be honest. I mean, it's a lot of CP, but like, that's pretty reasonable.
And how about you? You good?
I had a couple of games actually on Saturday night against Mr. Mumford, the Warhammer Freedom Fighter, which was fun. We played a couple of games. I was trying one of my armies out for the breakfast battles, which was the battalion with the for Osiarch Bone Reapers with the Stalkers and the Archai, seeing if I could make that work. Not really.
It's a path well trodden. It's like, ooh, that looks fun. Pre-game, the Catacrossian Deathglaive, yeah?
It was, and it didn't really work out. So for some reason, I then started writing Nighthaunt lists. Don't judge me. For a few hours and trying to make some Nighthaunt lists. Because obviously, I'm going to do breakfast battles this week. Got a great cast. I'm playing you tomorrow and playing Adam Mumford, who I think he's using Spiderfang on Wednesday, and then also Mr. Benjamin Sava of Legend of Note, but the artist extraordinaire. So that's a lot to unpack this week. So I was like, should I bring my A game? And I was like, no, I'm going to bring my Nighthaunt game. So I see what that's look. can I just shout out, before we get started, Owen, can I just shout out everyone who's here? Everyone really excited that I managed to land such a big guest like you on the show. I appreciate that.
I don't appreciate the chat at all. Please stop this fucking chat.
Can I thank Pragmatic for gifting a gift subscription, Sinful Gaming, The Wargaming Dad, Winner Dave, all for resubscribing. Also to Mick Wendell for subscribing as well, so I appreciate all of you. Can we also shout out Tank, who's in the chat? I'm hoping he's watching on Twitch. And if any of you are watching on YouTube and fancy jumping on Twitch, because we're still trying to hit that 100 people tuning in to get partner status, that'd be great. I think Tank won the Nopen, which was the 40k event over the weekend, or his list did at least. But we'll break that down more later. I think that's good. And also, Owen, a lot of people complimenting your hat. Not got the hair out today.
No. I finally washed my hair after about 4 weeks of going for the whole straw man look. And now it looks like a fluffy microphone. So, it's cold in London today. Weather update. It's very cold, like much of the UK. So I'm using the excuse to wear this rather fetching bobble hat.
Is this Owen original? Like, is this available for purchase?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Also, once, the only time I've ever worn it outside of London was when I went on a snowboarding trip and someone took a shine to it. I had to run out of a bar and whip it off the top of some little ne'er-do-well's head. He was walking. So, the chat aren't on their own. It's a high-value item, this.
So for anyone not from England, London is still exactly like the film Oliver, with a whole bunch of rapscallions and young whippersnappers, artful dodgering their way around, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Little bastards, except they're on scooters and they've got, what are they
the
called?
Bags.
Fanny pack across the midriff. Full of Class C drugs.
Your aunt called bum bags. Your aunt called bum bags you wear like a bandolier.
Yeah. That's how... Yeah. Just reposition ever so slightly and you go from zero to hero in like no time at all.
That's how you do it. Massive congratulations to Tank in the chat. I think we'll obviously be talking about that more later. So we've got loads to unpack today. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Appreciate you loads. Appreciate you a lot. We're going to be talking about the Russian ETC Challenge team event, which is super fun. And I want to see, we'll talk about that more in a second, the ongoing Butcher's Tribe event and then the upcoming events that are coming up, basically. Mm. That's the stuff. If you are listening to the podcast, please do stay hydrated. And thanks to everyone on Patreon and Twitch. I announced the winners of the giveaway. This model yesterday, Owen, was given away twice, once to someone on Patreon and once to someone on Twitch. So being a subscriber. So if you do subscribe, you're with a chance to win a cool model that I 3D print this week, this month. So that's fun. Nice little side thing. Mm.
From my point of view, it does look like you're just pointing at a green sheet.
You put this with this gorgeous green sheet.
So I was a bit like, wow, Rob, you are one hell of a salesman. You're giving that the big one there. Just
calm down. We go from strength to strength as a show. All right, so... Should we kick off with the Russian ETC event?
Yes, I reckon. Give us a year, Rob, and we'll have some like cool image of a globe, and we'll be like, "Where are we going to today?" And there'll be like a little animated plane with you and me in the cockpit, like flying over to Russia to like.
Yeah? I'm on that. Yeah.
Make a note there, sir.
Yeah.
So we're going over to Russia. Where we talk quite a bit, don't we? They love keeping us updated.
Yes, Philip, massive Russian shout out community. To Philip Kartiev, who actually has sent me some pairing data. So just, you guys will know, but I'm just going to take you through it again, just in case you don't. When you play in a team event, like, doesn't matter the amount of teams, what happens is there's like a card event, or that the two teams go to play against each other, and they don't arbitrarily play each other. What happens is you put some cards in to try and decide who plays who. It's like a mini game before you play the actual game. Being good at pairings can win you a whole tournament, being bad at pairings cannot. What's cool is, and we rarely get this data, and it's one of the things that I want to do for the Super Series more, and whenever there are team events in the future, Philip sent us all of the pairing data, which is really exciting. And if you do hold a team event over the next however long, I would love you to keep the information on the pairing data. It's such rare data. You very rarely get the opportunity to take it in. And it's something I'm pretty obsessed about and I'd like to know more about. So there will be a show at some point in the next week sometime where me and Owen, or maybe just me and someone else, who knows, at some point where we're going to look at that pairing data. Because I think that's going to be fascinating. I think, Owen, what do you do in your team? Do you palm the pairing data off? Like, who's your pairing go-to guy in your world?
I have to admit, I think that I am the runt of the litter. So I think that in a team with Laurie, Huggett Wild, and Benjamin and I, I've got my opinions, but I tend to just kind of go, I reckon I'm good into this, I'm good at this mission, da, 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 and then I leave it to them. Very much the same as in Team Wales, Mark Brooks and Simon Weekly very much are the bods on that. I think with pairings, as long as you give good information to your captain or your coach, whoever's doing the pairings, in terms of, I'm good into these lists, I'm good into these builds, or I'm good on these missions. As long as you provide that information, then I kind of let those guys deal with it from that point. But yeah.
It's intense, right? Some people love it. Like, it's a whole game within a mini game. So looking forward to that. So results. Sorry, we'll get into the results. What are we looking at?
Well, I think we did cover the list archetypes and had a little look at what was being played and some teams to look out for last week on the stats show. And those predictions came true. I think the top of the three that we looked at, which again was information provided by Philip, that they proved to be the top three teams. So, yeah, in third place were the Conquerors of Hesh. The second place were the Province team. But, yeah, Angry Alpacas. Not only smashing it up on TTS, but smashing it up in real life. I mean, there's obviously no comparison there, you know, between TTS and real life at all, obviously. We just need to put that caveat in there, you know. just park that. But, yeah, somehow they've been able to transfer playing online into playing in real life. Sorry, Rob, I said I wouldn't make reference to that. But anyway, so, yes, the alpacas.
We've all got something, I mean. We've all got something that gets us.
I just wanted to make you spit your water out, to be honest with you.
Come on, February, Rob, we're doing this. Yes. 2021. I almost pulled off all of January without like making shitty old reply to me. So February, I'm starting again. Right. So yeah, so the first we've got the list that were in the first place team. These are teams of three, right?
This one's actually teams of four. It's the Butcher's Tribe that's the three manners. But yeah, this is four man teams. And there's no restrictions on these in terms of this is often what you'll find is that you can't replicate War Scrolls, but you can stick within the same allegiance, you can't replicate War Scrolls, but you can choose armies within the same Grand Alliances. That's the only thing that's different with the Butcher's Tribe tournament, which is ongoing and we're going to have a chat about in a bit, in that they've mandated that you can't take more than one army per Grand Alliance, which is a little bit of an anomaly. Normally in team tournaments, you can take whatever you want as long as there's no replication of War Scrolls, which does mean you have to share out the Endless Spells. But yeah, so with this, they have very much dipped into the real powerhouses of Age of Sigmar with their lists. So they have an Eternal Conflagration.
Just to clarify as well for everyone as well, this is obviously all pre-FAQ.
Yes. Yeah, because obviously, you know, it would be a completely different set of lists.
I'm not making a joke. I'm just clarifying. It's always useful to know.
Set up, baby. I'll knock him out. We have a Tzeentch Eternal Conflagration Change Host. We have a Heimdall Lords of the Lodge Fire Slayers list with 50 Hearthguard Berserkers. We have a Sire Teclis Aurelan Legion list, and we have a Seraphon Dracothian's Tale list with Aslan and Croak. So, yeah, I mean, going into Seraphon, Tzeentch, Fire Slayers, and Lumineth, Rob, we're kind of dealing with some heavy hitters there, right? There's no narrative list writing in this.
None, absolutely none. Like, this is like, these are the big hitters. And these are like, and also what's interesting about most of these lists, although I would actually kind of put an asterisk next to Fire Slayers, they are pretty much very, they're competitive lists in their own right. Outside of even a team event. Team events you sometimes see skew lists. So lists that are like are really, really well tailored to do a singular job. And sometimes they are built to take out one of the big heavy hitter lists. So let's heavy hitter list being like a Rulian Legion, Change Host, or obviously a Fangs of Sotek list. The issue is that some of the kind of heavy hitting lists that I think that we see at the moment at the top of the game are really they're problems that don't really have like a solution. There's not like a key to unlock some of the major problems. It's more, can you get the pairings exactly right? I think is the issue. And I think the lists kind of show that, but I think you'll see some changes. Should we go through the list? Because I think that there's some... The first one is the Tzeentch list, which is an Eternal Conflagration list, which is going to mean that the Flamers can be battle line, but also you're going to get Rend 1 on all of your shots. Well, not on all your shots, but most of your shots that you're getting. And it's also, obviously, the Battalion Change Host. So everything that I read out is inside that battalion, and you're going to be able to swap the position of two units. Oh, no, you just get a teleport, right? You just get to teleport. The unit. And so there's two Exalted Flamers of Tzeentch, which are good shooters in their own right, but they also buff the units of Flamers that we see, which is two units of six and unit of three, and give them +1 to hit, which is really good. So if they don't end up shooting into a horde, which they can get up to +2 to hit naturally from their own War Scroll, what you end up with is if you're shooting a monster, you're like, cool, I've got a +1 to hit there, which is quite nice, which works really well. And then you've got 20 Brimstone Horrors, 10 Brimstone Horrors. And then the thing that I think is most important here is that there are no Pink Horrors. You often see Pink Horrors used in this list, but this is like the very fragile, very output-y, glass cannon, literally, mm-hmm. sort of list. There's also a Fate Master, who's going to give all rerolls to hit in a bubble, which is really important as well. There's a Change Caster, and then obviously that Lord of Change. So, like, it's a super, super strong list. Have you played against this? You've seen... Oh, there's also the Pendulum in the Spell Portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to admit that, you know, putting on so many tournaments, I haven't played, and it's not really the kind of game... It's not really an army that you're going to play in, like, a fun game with your mate, is it?
No.
so I have to admit that I haven't rolled into it. I did watch Antu in the Butcher's Buffet, the Butcher's Tribe tournament last night. He played a very similar list into Lumineth, which was a really interesting game. And even with the mass range and the mortal wounds from like Sentinels, he still managed to grind it out. you tend to find that they split. So you'd have six Flamers and Exalted will go off as one sort of gun platform, and then six Flamers with another Exalted. So you've got, and then the Fate Master would be giving the rerolls to everything, but later in the game they're going to have to push out. But yeah, it's interesting not to see the pinks, because you do often see people, and they will change host teleport 10 pinks at the start of the hero phase, and then Destiny Dice the 9-inch charge after shooting, and then sort of hold things in place to give time for the Flamers to move up. So yeah, that the screens and the things that are going to cap objectives are much lighter on this.
Yeah, they are, and also like there are some like sort of key problems in the list as well. The whole army is basically minus one to hit because it's going to be near the characters, but there's not a lot mm-hmm. of wounds, and it's very, very, very glass cannony, which I think is important. The Fate Master's really, really important to be able to keep alive. Like, I played this list a couple of times. I played it against an Osiarch's list one time, and I just like, and he just tried to catapult the Fate Master off the board, obviously, and I just Destiny diced his saves because they got no rend. That was I was like, that's the, like, it's super important. It was like good choice by him. It's a lot of output, but if you can double into it, if you can jump over it, it can fall apart pretty easy. Like as much as it's got loads and loads of damage and it can do loads of work, I would say that it really does require being played well as well. And also, it's fairly matchup dependent, because you will end up with some, like, if you played, and also the whole army's basically got rend one. That's it. Like, it mm-hmm. isn't brilliant. Like, it's got mortal wounds coming out of the characters, obviously, but like, there's not a lot of rend in there. Yeah, oh, actually, the Exalted might be Ren 2, because they get Ren 1, basically.
Yes, yeah, they are. Yeah. But it's, I mean, even without the teleport, you get 27-inch threat range, don't you, on all the Flamers and stuff. So,
100%.
Your opponent has to respect that, and they have to respect the fact that without any CP or any resource or any hero proximity, you can just pick a unit up and put it elsewhere on the board. So you can't just abandon your home objectives against it, because they can just, you know, drop a Brimstone Horror in behind you and, you know, cap your home objectives. So it's kind of, yeah, it's difficult to play against. But yeah, I don't think it's a defender army at all, is it? You know, you're talking about the pairings. It's not an army that you put down first. No. You know, whereas Philip's list, if we move to it, that could be very much be a defender army, couldn't it?
100%.
Because yeah, you know, 50 Hearthguard Berserkers. You know, somebody might just bust an army against that, because yeah, that can just. I mean, up until the Sharks came out with the no pile-in, you know,
that's
it's still...
About, yeah, that's what I was going to say when we talked about the Fire Slayers list, which we'll go through now. It's the Lodge is Hermdar. This was played actually by Philip. There's a Rune Father, a Rune Master, a Battlesmith with an Obsidian Icon, and then the Rune Smiter on Magmadroth with the key, and then who's the general. And then there's two lots of 20 Hearthguard, 10 Hearthguard, 5 Auric Hearthguard, and then that's the Lords of the Lodge. And then there's the Runic Firewall, and then the Magmic Battleforge is in there as well, which is the terrain piece, I think. So yeah, like, this actually isn't too dissimilar. This isn't too dissimilar to how we see singles lists play. Like, we would see something pretty much this, I would say, in mm-hmm. a singles list. And they just for everyone leading up to when COVID fell apart and like we stopped doing actual stats. Fire Slayers were still rocking 60-62% win rate and had been doing for a long time. They were taking tournaments out left, right, and center. They're pretty much dominant. And I'd have actually said if you took COVID away tomorrow and you were playing Fire Slayers, I think you were in with as good a chance as anyone to take out tournaments with a Fire Slayers list. I really do think that. The issue is, like Owen just said, the release, obviously, of that the Broken Realms book, Marathi, and what they did to Sharks. Because really, it's that double pile-in that gets the Fire Slayers all their activations and even their movement. They move base four, but two pile-ins get some 6 inches of movement.
Right. Yep. And 2-inch weapons as well. They're both 2-inch weapons, aren't they? The poleaxes and the broadaxes. So they, you know, they can, you know, those piles, you can keep reaching more, getting more and more stuff in. but yeah, that's the way that they really sort of project their power, isn't it? It's just by constantly piling in and just blowing stuff up and going first. Whereas, yeah, that doesn't happen so much anymore. But they're still they're still bricks, right? They're still solid little units. You're right. Just before COVID Heat 1, I'm pretty sure that the two Fire Slayers players there took 60 Hearthguard Berserkers, and then they both went 4-1.
KenCon Fire Slayers came third, maybe fourth. So that's out of 240 people. Like, they're good. They're really good. They've seen no points changes, obviously, in GHB and FAQs. They're still a super solid army. And also in a team event, they're really good. They're really good, because it's really, can you solve the problem? That, like, we talk about Sharks. Obviously, like, there's some great points being made in the chat. I just want to read them out. Tank Pasky's saying they're the best performing army that basically no one runs. That's super fair. They've been very rare into the meta, and that's true. Them and KO. And then Oripa says around them, we call them the Fire Layers list, a jawbreaker list, because you match up against it in the enemy list with the most teeth. Interesting. Yeah, so you get you play against an army that can only do a load of damage, and the answer is, can they actually do it into the Fire Slayers, right? Yeah, so it's a great list, but and really good in a team event, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I still think that you did see a lot of the Fire Slayers lists. I think Richie McCallie at the Six Nations I was part of, when he ran for England, I'm pretty sure that he went 5-0 or 6-0, however many games he played, he didn't drop a game there. A couple of things that come up in the chat as well. Marcus Rock says, all small characters, they should be sniped pretty fast. Yes, but the Runic Firewall has a really busted wording on it, which is that basically you can use the firewall to hide your characters, but even if the character is in front of the firewall, the wording is that if they're within an inch, then you can't draw line of sight to them. So a lot of Fire Slayers players manipulate that firewall. Have you ever come across that, Rob?
Yep.
So that's why I call them Fun Slayers. I know there's been a few names busted around there, but fun, yeah. I don't think I've ever beaten Fire Slayers at a tournament. Maybe that's more about me than all running combat. But yeah, if you play a combat army, Big War, or, you know, Bone Reapers, or something that just wants to go and fight, little ginger muscle babies, no, nothing fights like those boys, right?
Nothing does. Nothing does. And there's some other comments made in the chat. Studio Us would beat 60 Hearthguard Berserkers twice at the Dutch GT. You are a very particular level of skill, though, Benjamin, so maybe leave us all alone. And then Stephen AOS says, they tend to have one rough matchup over five games in teams. If you avoid that one tough pairing, you're sitting pretty, which being Stephen's team, hopefully for the Irish team event, I'm glad he's saying that. Like, he's my boy. Yeah, you got this. He's my pairings guy. And apparently they're all in Germany, all these Fire Slayers, which makes loads of sense. Apparently Prop Joe says they're everywhere in Germany. So interesting. Okay, all right, so the rest of this team, so far, get in your head, the team has got this Change Host Glass Cannon list that can do loads of output, and it's got this, like, immovable brick of ginger nutters. The next list is a Lumineth Robe Lords list in Sire. So Sire means it's got two lots of Aether Quartz, and you're obviously going to be able to use it twice on the same unit, which I did not know until, like, a month or so ago. I thought it was, like, you could use it in two places, but double down, so for +2 save. Which is sweet as. And then he's got Teclis, obviously, and it's got the Cathalar, and that's all going to be in the Aurelian Legion, which is the battalion, which basically is going to contain everything other than Teclis, so it's a 2-drop. And then you've got the Cathalar, who's the general. It's weird that you don't have to make Teclis the general, right?
Yes, because isn't that is stipulated in some of the newer books, like, especially when you're running, like, Archeon or something, maybe. I'm trying to think that it says, you know, he has to be your general, but goading arrogance on the Cathalar is too good to turn down. You're not going to go for a sort of narratively correct decision in making Teclis the general. because goading arrogance on the Cathalar just shuts down big heroes fighting, right? You know, that trait where they can't target anything if they're within 6 inches of the Cathalar. Yep. I think it might be a little bit higher drop than you first thought. It might be 4 on this one, because I don't think the Dawn Riders sit inside the Legion. So it's 2, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2 units of Wardens, 2 units of Sentinels, and the Cathalar of the Legion. But it's still like 1, 2, 3, I think it's 4 drop. But yeah, I mean, this is again another, apart from the 2 units of Dawn Riders that can break out, it's a real castle army, this. Like, watching it play, everything wants to sit within that 18-inch bubble of the, to give you the 5-up DPR from Teclis, the aura of Selenar, whatever it's called.
Yeah, so it's like Disgusting Resilience, so that DPR save that we're talking about. So yeah, it's just a 5-up bubble. So like we talked about, I mean, we talked about, like, indestructible ginger fellas, but 20 Aurelian Wardens can be sat up on a 2-up. They can be sat -1 to hit, 2-up save with a 5-up DPR. It's pretty, pretty strong, ultimately. And there's also Geminids in the list as well. So if you've clipped that unit right, yeah, then that is -2 to hit, which is already pretty rough. 2-up armor save. And then 5-up DPR, like, those 20 guys will feel like 100 guys that you'll never go through. It will feel pretty tanky. And they also do some pretty incredible damage. 2 attacks each, do mortal wounds on 5s. They're strong,
yeah,
right?
I can't believe how cheap Wardens are, I'll be honest with you. Like, they're 10 points more than 10 Ironbreakers, and 10 Ironbreakers are pretty good. But still, like, Wardens are that sweet, sweet unit, which is a hammer and an anvil, depending on how you layer the buffs on. Mm-hmm. And like Teclis auto-casting his 4 spells. It just gives it so much flexibility. They've not gone for the searing white light through the portal, I think that's a smart choice. I actually prefer to see lambent light through the portal often to give the full rerolls on the Sentinels. But then he hasn't really got loads of
portal
Sentinels. No portal. So, he's not putting too much sort of emphasis on that, because that searing white light is swingy. Like, you can see it, and they just roll 1s on the D3, and it can blow up loads of stuff in one go. But I think it is quite a swingy thing that you can't really rely on. So making all the units better that they're going to go out and take objectives, I think, is better than having Teclis as a sort of, you know,
destroying piece.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
And I think ultimately one of the very fascinating things about the, if this is kind of my take on it, and anyone who's playing Lumineth in the chat, I'd be fascinated to hear what you say, that actually, not weirdly, but the whole army has started to become a control army. We could talk about its defense in Sire, absolutely, like, and the fact that you can have that +2 save, like, when you choose as well. So even, like, it's not even just your turn, right? Like, your opponent outplays you and you're like, cool, +2 save on this unit now. So there's all that, but it's the level of control that you're able to do. You manipulate the battleshot test, you control movement, you control piling in, you control who you can attack, you control how much CP is being spent. Like, there's like a lot of like nascent like control being placed by this army, which you don't really see. And there's also like a lot of decision paralysis as well. I feel like this army has got one of the highest skill caps in the game. Because there is so many decisions you're able to make. Everyone can cast a spell. What spells are you going to cast? What position are you going to cast them in? Like, where are you going to place your units? Like there's a lot there. When are you going to use your Aether Quartz? There's loads to unpack with this army, I think. And I think this army is going to do better and better at tournaments over time. Like, you know, ignoring kind of like drastic points changes. Because the skill cap of the people playing it are going to go higher and higher and higher. And they're going to really know how to use those units. And also, like, it's not like these guys are +1 to hit, and you're like, the buffs are going to move around. So you're going to be like, okay, I'm playing that unit that does this thing. Not in this situation. That unit is going to do this, and then that unit's going to do this. And you're like, oh, okay. So, like, any one of the units can double their movement. And you're like, right, okay. Like, they're definitely moving at 14. It's like, this unit is this speed, or it's another speed. And you're like, that's a lot to unpack, right? Even as an opponent. So I think this is a really good army that will see more players. Yeah,
I think there's a couple of good Lumineth players of note in the chat as well. Matthew Goldsborough and Benjamin saying, it's control LRL is where it's at. And Benjamin saying he thinks Lumineth is a whole new archetype. I would say that they've created a whole new phase, Rob. So in between, what they do is they have basically between the priority role and then if the Lumineth player wins it, before the hero phase, there's definitely the contemplation phase. We're going to definitely call it the contemplation phase, but there's the procrastination phase maybe, but there's definitely a lot of, what would you call it? Analysis paralysis. They've got so many bloody options that sometimes, and the way in which you can like go, okay, Teclis, 4 spells at 10, and then you can intersperse those casts in between casting with all the other little heroes. It's not like he just does his 4 in a row. So you're constantly going through like, okay, I'm going to try and get these guys to do it. And then you throw in the Aether Quartz as well. So it's like, okay, I'm going to reroll that for an Aether Quartz. Or do you know what I mean? There's just like they have this toolbox of options, much like what you've said. And the way that you can then lean into certain elements, whether it be make it super tanky or upgrade the output, get Power of Hish on everything, and the way that you use the units and when they get to choose a spell lore, and then they can then be a signaling point to get that buff off around the board. It's definitely it's not a war scroll army. It's not put your models on the table. There's some duos, there's some power pairs, and then it just goes and does its thing, like, let's say, an Ogre Moor Tribes army. Mm-hmm. It's more of a galaxy brain time if you really want to get the most, and they've got so many new units coming, Rob, which is pretty scary, right? The amount
pretty
of new
scary
loads.
I think thanks, sorry again for subscribing. Thanks to everyone who subscribes on Twitch, massive love. Tom Dick says, and I think this is a really good point over on YouTube, there's a lot of redundancy in the list for Lumineth Rome Lords. Every unit being able to take spells, it's tough to remove any of the buffs. Obviously the kind of meme of shoot the characters doesn't really apply in this situation, because other than the Cathalar, I'm not certain I've ever said that right. But other than the Cathalar, you really can't take away any of the synergy. Teclis is not immortal, but like he can have a 2-up save and be a 5-up DPR on his own. That's pretty much the most survivable character. Like a Star Drake's like crying into his star tears at that stage. Like, what am I a joke to you? So it's very, very strong. And then when you actually look at the bodies on the board, you think, oh, it's a bit weak, but it's not in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's I'm really happy for all the guys who have picked up this army. At the end of the day, it's a beautiful looking army. It's going to be really tough. I'm fascinated to see how these games... This is a army you practice. This is not you're going to have a laugh. You have to turn up correct at a tournament with this and know what you're doing and play it. Otherwise, I can see a load of games timing out with this army. Timing out with this army. Like, you know, if we were putting chess clocks into the game, this would be the first army I put them on. I'd be like, look, you know, you need to sort this out. But really great, obviously. What's nice about the list as well, like Hearthguard Berserkers, different to Hearthguard Berserkers and different to Chainshows, if we're talking about this team composition, it's a complete toolbox army. It can do a bit of shooting. Mm-hmm. It can do a bit of fighting. It can shut down magic. So if you are paired into an army, or if your opponent has got an army that works only off a certain combo that requires a spell. Let's talk about Blades of Putrefaction from Nurgle, which is hard to get off anyway. It doesn't really make
Mask of Darkness, maybe? Mask of Darkness?
Mask of Darkness is obviously a great one. A spell that's really going to impact the army and like up its potency. You could just put, you just pair into Teclis and be like, cool, I'm just going to shut that down. And then you just basically neuter the army in such a huge way. So I think a great toolbox army, and I expect to see them in a lot of team composition lists in the future in varieties of ways. Loads of Sentinels, maybe even just loads of Wardens. These guys can fight when they want to fight.
It's also really good into Croak. I've seen, again, I watched Matthew play into Croak with it, and if you just push that aura up, then, you know, the aura is Selenar, so every time Croak tries to do a spell, then if it's affecting your units on a 4-up, you ignore it and do D3 mortal wounds back. So you can like bouncing. Yeah, I've seen, you know, you push a 30 block forward and then move Croak up. You push the 30 block up and you get the aura up. So I've seen Teclis being used very aggressively early. Then you can, you can shut down magic armies with it as well. It's just got loads of flex, and it's really interesting to see.
Honestly, I could probably watch someone who knows this army well play against every other army in the game, like for days. Like, I would love to. So yeah, great list in there as well. And then the final list that we're seeing, obviously, is Seraphon list, Drakkhos Tale. Although not, is it Fangs? No, it's not Fangs, right? It's Drakkhos Tale is the constellation. Yeah. So, and it's got Slanstar Master in there, who's the general, and then a Croak as well. A Skink Star Priest, a Skink Priest, and Astaroth Bannerbearer, obviously. 40 Skinks, 10 Skinks, 3 Salamanders, 5 Saurus Guard, or as ablative wounds for Croak, or any of the slads at this stage. And then 3 Vanguard Raptors with the 3 Aether Wings. We talked about this last time. And then another 3 Aether Wings as well. And then the Bellwind Vortex, obviously, and then Bound Geminids of Orgeesh. Owen, how do we feel about getting around, it's not the same War Scroll, Geminids and Bound Geminids?
Fucking 10 points, man. 10 points. Bound Geminids. Bound Geminids is toxic. It's one of the worst things in the game, I think, because you just, you throw it out there, and regardless of it basically, people have talked about it, and I'm a salt free zone today, but still, it's just incredibly powerful because, you know, it negates the whole thing that Endless Spells were brought into, which is to bring a bit of interplay into the, you know, the between phase. And the fact that you can do that trick that I've talked about before, where you, even if, so say Croak wins the turn, and then you basically can move the Geminids, unbind them, recast them, and then you get to double tap on the debuff.
Yeah, it's nuts, right?
Yeah.
And there's you're going to generate a lot of so the slan in this list is there just to generate summoning points, right?
Which is, and I think his spell gives out another +1 to cast as well, I think, which is the Celestial. Yeah, so he can get Croak on whatever, +3, +4 maybe.
+4, I think, is where you can get him up to. +1 naturally, +1 from the bearer, +1 from the spell, and there's a +1 from something else, which I'll have to remember. I think it's +4. And also +4 unbinds as well. So it's wild. I mean, the 40 skinks. Can we just talk about, like, because we haven't talked about them in a while, those 3 salamanders, 330 points. 330 points of absolute terror. Mm-hmm. 10 wounds that have got, like, a 4-up save. Not 10 wounds, sorry, more than 10 wounds. What is it? 9 plus 5. It's 14 wounds with a 4-plus save. That can be a 3-up save. Can even go up to a 2-up save against shooting. So much output still available from those salamanders when you can teleport them around. They're little, like, they are horrific in their output for 330 points. Yep.
I can confirm in the last round of the Butchers tournament, which we're going to move to next, Laurie's running our Seraphon build. And yeah, he basically, Mortis Praetorians, he's facing off against Mortis Praetorians. So he had 5 Death Riders, so 15 wounds on a 3-up save, and then another 10 wounds in a Mortec guard unit. And he just teleported them, hosed off all the Death Riders with the shooting, then charged, then 3d6 charged the Mortec guard and blew all them off as well. So he just like went through 25 wounds on a 3-up save with an amazing, you know, just went through that without breaking a sweat. It's the fact that you get the mortal wounds on the shooting and on the combat, which I think is pretty busted.
And it's still just D3 damage anyway. Like, yeah, it got with Ren 2, it's just so good. The 40 skinks, obviously, if you guys, first time you've ever heard anything like this, they get buffed from the priest and the star priest, so they're pretty terrifying as well. They'll have just as much output, but they have a slightly different role in the army. Those Vanguard Raptors, though, as the allies, is kind of like a big shout, I would say, right?
Yes, yeah, and the fact that he gets the synergies of the charge blocking. I watched, it might have been exactly this player watching the Alpacas play this morning. There was the last game of this round, and this army was playing. And the fact that you get that, the 2d6 charge block move from the War Scrolls of the Aether Wings and the Vanguard Raptors, so you're able to lean into that outside of the Stormcast Allegiance, it's a smart pick, and it's really, he was basically... He denied charges on Volturnus, 3 eels, and a turtle, just with a 210-point combo between the Raptors and the Aether Wings. I would make an argument that I think that it's actually the Aether Wings which are the more important element of that combo. I would say that he's got loads of output and he's got loads of reach. It's just the fact that he's, he's not got the Fangs of Sotek retreat and shoot element. So to protect his blocks of skink, his big block of skinks, and to protect his castle, because that's all hella fragile, isn't it? There's not really much there, but the Aether Wings to protect against those charges whilst he drops stuff out of the sky and teleports and creates loads of CP and loads of summoning points, right? Yeah. It's cool. It is cool. I would hate to play it, to be honest with you.
I think what's interesting is with the teleporting in the game, teleporting's the best rule in Age of Sigmar. Like, I used to say it was movement, but they got rid of movement. They just made it teleporting. Teleporting's the best rule that you can have, because it means that you don't have to play the game. You can just reposition at any point, which is obviously phenomenal. And having at any point a redeploy wherever you like means that, like, even if someone goes super aggro into you, like with an army, let's pick an Iron Jaws army. Like I played the other day, Maw Crusher, 9 pigs. You know, like a couple more lots of pigs, and they just all hammer over. They all.
Is that the pig brain play? Yeah.
Yeah. He really got my bacon. Anyway, but like, you leave your board really open, right? But if you can take that charge, deal with what's in front of you, or even just hold up what's in front of you and then teleport over the top of them, which is why fly is also obviously good as well. But yeah, that move block is super, super useful. But it's great. It's a great list. And all of these lists are like some of like the strong lists that you see in the game. They're a little bit like not toned down, but changed around. Like the summoning here for the Seraphon list, I wouldn't say is like the singles list to take out an event, but maybe they think that it might be. But overall, like a great set of lists, great set of guys. So they took out that team event over in Russia. So the Angry Alpacas. But the Angry Alpacas are not done, right? They have still got an event coming up that they're playing right now.
Yes. There's several of us all still, duking it out in the Butcher's Tribe, the team tournament. Obviously, you had Pask on the show recently, didn't you?
Last Wednesday.
So, God, time flies. So what I've done, I'm not sure if you've got that document I sent you. There's basically just having a little look. The round finishes in a couple of days. This has actually now been outdated, Rob. So down in pool 4 in the bottom left-hand corner,
yeah,
the Angry Alpacas, they won their game 20-0 this morning. So they are now the only team to have clean sweeped both rounds. So they've gone 3-0 followed by 3-0 in each of the two rounds so far. So just for people, so they can read this information correctly, what we've got is we've got 7 pools, and then there are yes, Sosneg, no data. So there are 7 pools, and in each of those pools there are 4 teams, and those teams are made up of 3 players each. So with some rudimentary maths, that sounds like 84 players, I think. So yeah, lots of Warhammer. The state we are at now is that we've had 2 rounds effectively. So you basically, each team plays all the other teams in their pool. So the color coding that we've got there effectively denotes who's in the strongest position after 2 rounds. The orange highlighted teams may have lost a round so far, but they're still in with a chance of winning their group. So there's a lot to play for. I mean, pool 7 is the most binary one. It seems like there's 2 super strong teams there in Team AAE and Chuchichascato. I'll go with that. They've both effectively beaten all the other teams. So there's a big final round there in pool 7 where they get to face off against each other. Not like in a World Cup, like a football tournament. It's not the top 2 from each pool that go through. It's just the top 1. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty brutal format, Rob.
Pretty brutal. Pretty cutthroat as well, ultimately. Yeah. Your team there, so some of the, like, there's some pretty well-known players. And if you aren't, like, a well-known player to me yet, I hope eventually to know you. So always shout out Twitter or Discord or anywhere. I love hearing about, like, who you are, where you're from, what your team are up to. Like, it's always really interesting to me, so please do reach out. Obviously your team is in there, Fiction. You just took out Team Bin, like a whole bunch of like the current English UK master, Luke, who has pretty much gone undefeated in real life, like a solid team, and Simon Hall as well. And you guys clean sweep the board in that matchup, right?
We did, yes, yeah, with a lot of prep and a little bit of luck. Yeah, we managed. I think that, again, talking about the pairings process, there was a matchup between Laurie's Seraphon and Dan's Ossiarch Bone Reapers, triple crawler Mortis Praetorians. So that was very much seen as a win for Laurie on paper because of the natural strengths of the armies. But then they very much felt that Simon's Caradron Overlords going into a change host with lots of pinks, that was very much seen as Simon's game to lose. And then my game against Luke was a little bit more 50-50, although he thought that he would have a better chance. But yeah, lots of prep, lots of practice games. We played and practiced our deployment a lot, and we managed to get all the wins there. But that's still very much in the balance. We now face off against the Finnish C team. So you've got Age of Sebmar, Mark Wilson in that team. Because if you slip up and lose a match, then you might get overtaken quite easily, because it's the top one, followed by, out of all seven pools, it's the highest placed second team. So there are some teams which are vying for that second spot, and that's where all the auxiliaries that are achieved come into it. So we had a good round, I must say. We had a good round.
Well, I'm just going to quickly whip through who each pool. Pool one, Fiction, are taken out. Pool two, it's Team SYM. Pool three, we've got the New European Alliance. Pool four, it's the Angry Alpacas. Pool five, it's the Seraphonies. Pool six is a dead play between the Bad Moon Loons and the Cobra Kai. Are they to play each other next?
I believe so. Yes, they are. They're playing each other next.
Oh, so that's a big match there. And then pool seven, like you talked about, Team AAE and Chuchichi Hasasiti are going to play each other. I feel like I nailed that, like you did it. Thanks also, Perkisaurus, for subscribing. Big love to you. We're going to look at a couple of these teams, right, in more detail.
Yeah, I just think we've had a look at some of a couple of teams in the past, but there were two that have stood out, and they've just been getting on with their work quite calmly and quietly. And they currently top the rounds. I mean, all of this can change with some some big results, but these are the teams in red are the ones that are in pole position at the moment. Team SYM. I'm not sure what that's an acronym for. The main reason I wanted
shut your mouth.
That's another one. I thought it might have been something your mum or something, but maybe that's just
all
that's
that
my
works.
So the main reason...
apparently it's so's your mum. Thank you, Von Smallhausen, in the chat.
I know who Von Smallhausen is. The main reason I wanted to talk about this team is because Steve is in the chat. Because have you seen this Thunder Lizard list, Rob?
No, but I'm ready for it. It's triple Basti, so I'm into that.
Yeah, he's got... Okay, so it's Thunder Lizards. It has Lord Croak, obviously, a Skink Priest, another Skink Priest, and a Star Priest. And then he's managed to get in three blocks of 30 Skinks.
How have you got three Mastillodons and still 90... Not even 90 Skinks, 110 Skinks. Flip.
Bound Burning Head and Bound Purple Sun.
I love the Bound Purple Sun, by the way. Because, the Purple Sun still... A good spell, could do some horrific work, and when it's bound, it's I'm just going to keep moving this towards you, an unescapable doom. Yeah, it reminds me of Deep Impact, or the other film that's like it, with the song. Oh god, it doesn't matter, but the comet coming to Earth, you've got this purple sun slowly moving towards you, you're like, no.
Well, in a world of really high, really good quality saves and good quality after saves, there's nothing better than just going, well, I don't care that you've got a two up against mortals, because you're slain, isn't it? Bound purple sun, or purple sun in general, is just slain.
Yep.
So doesn't matter how many after saves or quality of saves you've got. But yeah, that whole lot, minus one damage. And generally horrific output, right, Rob? And CP to fund everything.
Let's quickly talk about that for a second. So yeah, because it's not the Skinks or Seraphon that we normally see, so there's no teleport available to the army, but the army is flat wide, army wide, doesn't have to be near a character, just wherever you like, you take one less damage. And obviously against damage, it's kind of interesting versus the Death Guard conversation you see in 40k at the minute. There's a lot more like multi-damage weapons that you generally see in 40k than you necessarily see here, and lots of the bodies that you see on the board here like only have that single wound, so that minus one, but damage carries over in Age of Sigmar, so it's not that big a deal. But you know, it's minus one damage at the end of the day, like you half the output. So if you go up against Iron Jaws in like a team composition, for example, they're just like, cool, you're actually back to half damage now. You're like, oh.
Yeah, that war chanter, he can just go and have a fag in the corner if he wants, because he's doing nothing this game.
Yeah, great against Shootcast. That's a really good point. 30 skinks is equal to 9 spider fag riders. I'm not getting into it. Twitch chat, February Rob and 2020 Rob, not getting into it. Yeah, if you've got an opinion, yeah, Fucking put it online. You can fight the battle today. So the important point there also is, because it's Thunder Lizard, this is really, really important. There's an extra wound on each one of the monsters, and obviously those Basilodons are getting an extra wound. Quickly need to point out that we don't talk about Basilodons enough, because even if they put Skinks up, and even if they put Razordons, which are still great, but no one takes, or Pterodons, which are still great, but like they don't, like, this army is going to be able to sidestep any points changes massively. They're like, right, Croak, 500 points, and Skink get an extra 20 points each. All the Seraphon players are like, lol jokes, I'm just going to double fire my Basilodon, who is on a 2-up unrendable save. Yeah? Mm. Like, for a while. Like,
yeah, two things to note. I think Matthew Goldsman in the chat says, yeah, they get an extra 2 wounds, Rob, not just the extra 1, just to make it that bit harder to crack. Bastilladons have got the skink keyword, so can soak up all those lovely buffs. I think.
Do they?
Yeah. So you can do mortal wounds on sixes with them as well, and all that jazz. Yeah, it's busted as hell, man. I think honestly, like, if I was to make a change, you know, somehow, if there was a mechanism by which the game could be changed, then I would remove the skink keyword. Sorry, Rob. I'm gonna keep, just every now and again, I'm just gonna dig you in the ribs, okay, and keep you laughing. All right.
Fine. Uh-huh.
But yeah, removing of the skink keyword from certain war scrolls would be a real help for everyone who doesn't run Seraphon. Do you know what I mean?
The other 4 idiots that aren't running Seraphon at this stage. I said a year ago, I think the Seraphon book came out almost a year ago. I was like, why isn't everyone buying Croak? And if you haven't at this stage, you're late to the game. That's what it is. So the Basilodon quickly, so that takes him to 12 wounds with a 2-up unrendable save. But the other thing we still haven't talked about is when you do say take Thunder Lizard, is you obviously are able to use your CP, which you generate loads of from Croak and also the Skink Priests, or Star Priests at least, you are able to fire them twice, so which is pretty cool. And I'm pretty certain you can spend a CP to do it on each. Is it an aura, or is it you have to spend a CP on each one?
No, you have to spend a CP on each one.
So it's expensive CP-wise.
It is, because you can also, you'll be wanting to spend a CP from, I believe it's the Star Priest, to give plus one to hit, to make them hit on threes. So it's very CP heavy. Mm.
Thanks, Pass, for bringing it up. It reminds me a lot, actually, of Underguts, but not at all.
Say, what, the fact that it's like Underguts is completely opposite in terms of being a rather underwhelming shooting army, and then this is like a fucking insane, bonkers, like, you know, shit fest of rules. I think that's the only comparison.
Hold on. So they've got 9 shots each of Basilodon, right? Which do hit on 4s, which is an issue. Wound on 3s, rend 1, 2 damage. But when in this coin operated Basilodon shooting attack, it's going to take you up to 18. So, quick math, 36. What's 36 plus 18? 54.
54.
So 54 shots hitting on 4s. So even if you're half that, you're going to be hitting 27 times, 3s to wound, rend 1, doing 2 damage. If you fire against demons, they're damage 3, right?
Yeah, and because they've got the skink keyword, they can run and shoot and charge, Rob. Or run and shoot, at least. So people screen out for the 29-inch move, and then you just go, okay, I'm gonna run and be in. Here we go. Free skink.
Yeah, go on, after you.
I was just gonna say that the actual the writer of this filth fest is in the chat saying 3s reroll 1s with Burning Head and Skink Priest, free skink CP from the general, and then yeah, being so you know, sort of reliant on command points. That's what we mean when we're saying CP, by the way. He's got a an undead lizard on a throne who just generates them every turn, right? It's
also got to deal with the purple sun coming your way and Croak, who isn't bad either. But interesting. It's a super cool list. Like, it's a lot of shots. And, like, what's interesting about, like, screening or everything else, and obviously those shots do get worse as the Bastillodons get wounded, but you can't really chip damage the Bastillodon. Mm-hmm. Getting spells off against them's rough. They've got a great save. So, like, you know, you're still worrying about 30 skinks, so we're going to do a bunch of damage to you as well. You've got 110 bodies on the board. It's, like, it's super cool. Super cool. Loads of output. Really fun.
Also, I would just like to say, while we're on the subject of Steve is the gentleman who's put together that wonderful spreadsheet that we're all getting all the information about this tournament from. Yeah. So Steve's a ledge for that. So cheers, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Not gonna thank you for your bloody list, but I'm going to thank you for your Excel spreadsheet skills, because that list, that gives me chills.
Right.
His teammates...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
No, go for it. This is all on you, Rob. You'll love this one. This is you, mate.
Okay, so it's a Zinch Host Arcanum list. Archeon, obviously. Chaos Sorcerer Lord, Fate Weaver, Great Brave Shaman. Oh, lovely. Scrubby Dave is running this. 10 Pink Horrors, 2 Lots of 3 Screamers, Geminids of Orgish, Umbral Spellport, and the Darkfire Demon Rift. Darkfire Demon Rift is a great little call. I love that. Dropping that out of Archeon once he's engaged in close combat is horrific, to say the least. Let's put it that way. Also, I really like Darkfire Demon Rift. You guys don't know, it does extra mortal wounds for the amount of wizards around. I really like Darkfire Demon Rift as a counter to an alpha. So you get some sort of like big alpha list that's like, I'm going to punch you. You're like, cool, I can survive that for a turn. Yeah? And then you're going to get this like horrific spell into your lines, which is going to be really, really good. Obviously, pre-game move, Archeon gets all the buffs, uses the agendas to get really good. You've got the Great Brave Shaman, which we used so well on TTS to drag units out from the Great Brave Shaman spell, which can be done through the spell portal. Kairos Fate Weaver can obviously make sure, Destiny Dice and Fate Weaver can also be a part of that combo as well. So a really, really solid list. A lot of control, like we talked about, with the Lumineth list, in there, but it's very spell dependent, but you don't really have to worry about that because you can just use dice to just do what you want. And then you've got this horrific -1 to hit monster of the end times that's going to go and like put frogs in swords and whatever he wants to do. Although I did see a complaint from Archeon the Ever Chosen himself on Twitter yesterday. He was like, I would like my sword to be Ren 3. And I was like, maybe.
They started the campaign earlier, so you just get...
Oh, Von Smallhausen says, Darkfire Demon Rift did 90 mortal wounds against Legion of Grief in round 1, killed his own general with it to get vengeful counter, says Von Smallhausen.
That's a ballsy play right there. But yeah, holy moly. Yeah, Demon Rift into Lumineth is pretty, that was pretty disgusting with everybody being a wizard. Yeah. But yeah, we saw Casper on the stream run this list, didn't we? And I think that, I think Steve's run this himself. It's got a hell of a lot of control elements, you know, with Kairos's once per game ability to rig that dice roll. It's got fast things to cap. It's obviously got cheetah dice and summoning. And then, yeah, you covered it really well, Rob. Just, yeah, unkillable Grand Marshal of the Apocalypse on minus. Well, he's not unkillable, but in Zinch, Infusion Arcanum is +1 to hit, +1 to wound, I believe. And then, like you say, the agenda to give him +1 attack for the rest of the game to make you, you know, so you've got 5 Slayer of Kings dice. It really does make a big difference for hero hunting.
Yeah, he's great. And also that movement as well from the Host Arcanum, because he can fly. Oh, there's also 6 Screamers that we're not seeing there. There's auto unbinds because it's Host Arcanum. So there's lots going on there that you're able to put around. So it's just a great list. Really good. We see it in singles events all the time. I love the Darkfire Demon Rift inclusion. Like, absolutely love that. And I love the story of doing that many mortal wounds to some poor ghosts. It's hilarious. Like, there's a whole bunch of ghosts. Like,
the Legion of Grief had it coming, man. Those boys have been tearing up the top tables, haven't they? They asked for it. The Rift was calling. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. The Demon Rift is no problem apparently for Lumineous Realm Lords. It is because like it's not the ongoing effect of it, because obviously Teclis is going to be able to just remove it from the table, but in like, when it's cast, it's going to do all its effects then. Like that's mm-hmm. the issue, and it arguably you kind of want Teclis to unbind it so you can cast it again into them. Like ultimately, so I think it's a major issue. And then the third of these lists, at this point, is like just beautiful to see. It's an Ogre War Tribes list, Blood Gullet, Frostlord and Stonehorn, and he's obviously got a Black Clatterhorn and the Splatter Cleaver, and he's also command traded the Nice Drop of the Red Stuff, Huskard on Stonehorn, Butcher. Four Mournfang, two lots of two Mournfang, and in the Yorbad Battalion. We see this a lot, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. a really strong, really, really punchy list that will absolutely smash through your lines if you, like, it would be interesting to see this versus the Change Host with the Flamers, right? Like, that would be, mm-hmm. like, an interesting combo. Like, can the Flamers do enough to these guys? These guys aren't just going to absolutely rinse through their lines very quickly.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like when I talk to people about Warhammer, and they're like trying to get their heads around what I spend a lot of my time thinking about and stuff. And I do say like it's one game, but there are incredibly distinctive ways to play the game. And I think through the course of these three lists, you can see three very distinctive ways to play. This is obviously your super fast monster truck impact hit smashy bashy. List. There's not a huge amount of, aside from the 6-inch pylon aura from the Frostlord, the Nice Drop of the Red Stuff, everything can work quite independently of each other. Like you do see a lot of these games where, you know, you've got one Stonehorn that's charged and blown something up and is holding one object, you know, like it all just splits up and goes off anyway. It's not a synergistic bubble like your tech list, sort of everything staying within the aura. There's not really too much that you have to stay in range of. Things can just go off and independently blow other stuff up. And like, I think there's a hell of a lot of more tribes list in this tournament, and nearly all of them have the Yorbad battalion. You know, looking at that battalion conversation, it's just... It includes the kind of things that are good in more tribes, and then the every six up to hit is a mortal wound on most of the units. Just it really does make a big difference. I think it's not to be underestimated. It doesn't seem like much, but because it's most of the army is in the battalion, and it's on the hits rather than the wounds, it's just that extra bit that pushes things through. You know,
absolutely, and like there's output for days. There's output yeah. for days. All the impact hits you're not seeing there, the plus movement. There's so much, really, that you're not, like, that you sometimes don't necessarily see. Also, like, the impact hits are really important for, like, weak screens. You impact mm-hmm. them, you smash them, then you do your pile in 3 inches and you do your attack. So, like, there's lots there. Like, and they really are, like, an absolute, like, a gate buster list. They're just, you know, someone's like, I've set up quite well there, and you're like, cool, this thing just comes and hammers through the lines. Yeah, you're like, no, which is just brilliant. So yeah, great list. And also, like, one of those lists that I feel like you really could give to like newer players, mm-hmm. And they could get really, really good with like playing really well with this, and also learning to play aggro, which is also like I tend to play too defensive. This is a super like aggro style, which is really fun to play. So yeah, it's really good. But it's not a smooth brain list, O Reaper.
Like... I don't know, man. He's not a million miles away there. It's, yeah, smooth brain monster truck list is kind of, that's where I would probably pin it on my list archetype board of fun. But there are still loads of ways that you can play it incredibly intelligently with impact hits and a 6-inch pylon, just like what you've been talking about, Rob. The way in which you charge and the angles of charging and the way that you're sequencing your attacks and stuff like that, like those monster trucks, those Stonehorns can go deep, right?
Absolutely. And Forgive says, and for some reason, the Ogre players tend to always roll 10 plus on their charges every time they charge my skins. And Seraphon probably are the real smooth brain list, let's be honest, but that's fine. Right, then, so that's Team YSM. SYM, sorry. And then the Seraphonies are our next list that we're going to be checking out, our next team comp. And again, in a kind of like... surprise shock mirror, Kyle is going to be playing an Ogre Moor Tribes list, which is Blood Gullet. He's got Frostlord on Stonehorn, he's got Huskarl on Stonehorn, so exact loadouts that we saw before, a Butcher, and then there's four Mournfang, and in this situation there's three times two Mournfang, as opposed to another four and two twos. And then there's a Yorbad in here as well. So, I mean, everything we pretty much just said... this is Chris who's playing this. Pretty much everything we said for the last list applies here, right?
Yes. That's all I've got to say. It's pretty much exactly the same. Everything's the same, apart from I think that the Mournfang might be split out a little bit more. But that just goes to the strength of this build. And obviously, again, looking at the team tournament format, you could only take one army from each Grand Alliance. So Chaos and Order are obviously the two stronger Grand Alliances at the moment. Yep. So teams had that choice of whether to dip into death or dip into destruction. And hence, you're seeing a lot of Bone Reapers and a lot of Ogre Moor tribes. But we've pretty much covered that there. Then we've got a rather interesting Ossiarch Bone Reapers list.
Take me through it.
So Mortis Praetorians, which is the pick that you see often for the sub faction, Katakross, Xantos, and Arcan, which is not a suite of heroes you often see. I mean, he's in there with over 1,000 points worth of heroes. He then has 15 Death Riders, 20 Mortec Guard, 10 Mortec Guard, and a Nightmare Predator. Plymouth Troll Slayers in the chat, Speckled Super Series, basically. Pretty much, actually, that's a good shout. I didn't really see that first. But, yeah, so... Katakross is such an enigmatic thing to play with. I mean, in Mortis Praetorians, he's giving everything plus one save, plus one to hit in a bubble. So brilliant. Everything's on a 3-up save. All the troops are on a 3-up save. Plus one to hit really, really helps Arcan because a lot of his good attacks hit on fours. So he's he can actually go off and be a bit of a bully, Arcan, in this. Xantos is great, but you often see him pair it with Crawlers because he's giving reroll wounds as a bubble in the same size bubble as the plus one attack that he can give. Mm-hmm. And then he's got Katakross, who, as I say, is very enigmatic. It's really hard to get the most out of him, it seems, because with a 4-inch move and a relatively large base, he can, you know, he doesn't often pay for his points, but... Then again, stealing your opponent's command point every turn is huge, right? That can really nerf people or limit what they can do. The spell lore is amazing for OBR, but really he can... Good. Yeah, and he's obviously got the pluses to cast from Arcan. It's an interesting one. I mean, I can't...
I like the inclusion of the Nightmare Predator, which, if I'm right in thinking it's the plus one to hit spell, is that the one it is? I'm just checking now. Two plus
suffers. No, it's like a mortal wound one that does d6 mortal wounds to like its chosen prey. It's basically a predatory spell. Like it doesn't buff or synergize with anything else other than it's some mortal wounds and some threat. It's an interesting one. I think we did see a really interesting list do well at one of Simon Hall's events recently. I think the not the past Gold Con, but the Summer Smash, the previous one to that was won by a Bone Reapers list that was Mortis Praetorians that had a real mixture of bits and bobs. But
yeah, I mean, that 15 Death Riders is 45 wounds at the end of the day. Arcan can bring models back, so there's that going on there. So can Katakross. Yeah. There's more wounds on there than necessarily seem. There's a lot of shutting down, and I guess reliably getting those buffs off. So like the Death Riders and the Mortec Guard, but it doesn't seem like a lot, right? Like, but maybe it's just more aggressive Katakross. We normally see quite defensive Katakross. He's normally played at the back. I like the idea that Katakross and Xantos are thrown forward with everything, and really they're going to protect Arcan. I think is kind of an interesting play. It's not a lot of wounds, 113 wounds, but like we said, we can generate loads of that back. Yeah, fun, like, and some pretty strong command of the magic phase at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you're right. In you saying what you've just said, it's made me think that maybe it's just an army, it's one that splits into two, because you've got plus one attack that you can get off Katakross, and maybe he teams up with the 20 Mortec Guard because they're both relatively slow units. And then the fast stuff, so Xantos, Arcan, and the Death Riders go off as a death ball. So he can give them plus one attack, and the rerolls, like 15 on the charge, is a hell of a lot of attacks. And he's got the blades, so he does have an inherent rend. I'd be interested to see this play. Definitely, it's different from what you see. Often you see 2 to 3 crawlers, 5 death riders, and Mortec with buff pieces. This is it. Or you see a lot, and a harvester. It's interesting to not see the harvester with a 20
all the crawlers. Absolutely.
Good for him. He's obviously agreed. Well, agreed.
Next up, Basil. He's running a Fangs of Sotek list. He's got Croak in there. He's got an Astroth Banner Bearer. He's got Skink Priest, Star Priest, 2x40 Skinks, 5 Saurus Guard, 2x3 Salamanders, and then the Bellwind Vortex in there. So we've talked about this list or a list similar to this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's super strong. He's got 4 major threats, not including Croak, in the 2x40 Skinks and the 2x3 Salamanders. There's a lot of output available from this army. And of course, Croak on a Bellwind as well.
I appreciate you, Mark, Meermouse Mark in the chat my feelings. It's incredibly strong, and team tournament, you know, people aren't bringing fun lists, they're bringing lists to win, and this is tried and tested, correct? Summoning,
these are so good. Such a good list. This is an absolutely pick up, give to anyone. That's no disrespect to Basil. Basil, I'm sure you can play your heart out and you're a legend. Probably people, like, you walk down the street and people clap and, like, salute you because you're such a fucking hero. In no way is this an indictment of you. But I feel like this is a list you can just give to anyone. And you just, like, this is the list you're playing, right? Because, I mean, need to know some elements of how the army plays, ultimately. But, you know, it's just very strong. Very strong, and really good. I mean, in our opinion, based on no data, is the kind
obviously
of like...
just, you know, we're just throwing baseless opinions out there, Rob.
Based on almost no information, I think totally. They might be strong. Calling it now.
They look strong in the pictures, Rob. That's what I'm gonna say. When you look at the little picture of them, they look strong, and that's the only thing that I'm basing all of my information and decision on. It's just they look scary, right? That blowpipe looks like it could do some fucking damage.
And also, like, can we talk about how ugly the Salamanders are? Like, we need to talk about something. I know New Zealand and Australia, you've been smashing it. You get to play games. I'm so happy for you. Love you tons. And that's Russia. I think Iceland as well. There are a whole bunch of other places. America, not you. You shouldn't be playing games. There's a whole bunch of places where people can have been playing over the past year. Can we talk about the fact that if you have been taken off the board by Salamanders, even before the points change in GHB 2020, like, how ugly they are? Like, you know, if Lumineth are taking me off the board, I'm like, you know what, man, they look great.
Yeah,
like,
that is like one pretty pike that's in my face. That's fine. But yeah, having hot death rain down on you by a plastic toy that you would get in a fucking garage in, like, in the mid-90s, that's not, you know what I mean? It looks like one of those things, like a string bag full of cheaply made Chinese, like, dinosaur toys that your nephew choose when you go around to see your auntie. So that kind of, they've got that kind of vibe going on, haven't they, Rob?
Or have I gone a bit? No. Can I just thank B Lever in the chat? I really appreciate you. You're absolutely right. And everyone in the chat, you're all brilliant people. Thanks for being here. So the Butcher's Tribe event, which is what we, those lists that we just talked about are from, is an ongoing team event. We'll be covering that on the Stats Center as time goes forward. We have some upcoming events, though, which is cool, more and more. And that this section, what I'm excited about is this section is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. Is going to be so fun. Like, you know, it's not just going to be events of tomorrow. This section is going to become massive. And if you want to be included in this, let us know. You've got an event coming anywhere in the world, anywhere, like, you've got an event, drop us a message, drop me and Owen a message, find some way to contact us, like, and we'll bang it on here. We're very excited to talk about this. So, go for it, Owen.
So, yes, we've got two events this weekend. We're going to start with an IRL event. So, people with real models and real toys and real dice, real feelings. I don't know where I went. I'm sorry, man. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's in Geelong, which I've researched it. What a lovely looking place. Like, if somebody wants to have a little bit of like, oh God, I wish that we could fly around the world and see people and have a nice time and go on a holiday, Geelong looks like a lovely place. It's south of Melbourne in the state of Victoria.
Ooh, lovely.
Lovely co little coastal city. It had like a lovely kind of promenade and everything. It looked great. So yeah, I'd love to get down to Geelong at some point. And yeah, they've got 49 players this coming weekend. Yeah, it's called
Oh,
Summer Sm
sorry, it's just apparently it's pronounced Geelong.
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 Am I Gala Gala? Is
Geelong.
that it? Flaming Gala?
Geelong. You flaming Geelong? Sorry, I won't do that anymore. Apologies to all of you.
Oh, here we go. Geelong. No, Gel Geelong. 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 Get along.
Geelong.
Okay. Thanks, Rinaldi. Get along. Yeah, I agree. Fucking hell. I need some lunch. Yeah, so Geelong, there we go. In Geelong, we've got 49 players. And yeah, there we go. We're finally settled. It's pronounced Bellend.
That'll do. That'll do,
Oh,
kid.
God.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's 49 players. We've been sent a bunch of lists. Maybe we'll have a little chat. Maybe we'll have a little chat about those lists at some point this week, eh, Rob?
Yeah,
How about that?
very, very much looking forward to doing that. Looking forward to doing that big breakdown, yeah.
So yes, that's fun. I'm gonna lose it in a minute, to be honest. I don't even want to say that word anymore. I don't know.
So
Yeah, there we
that's,
go,
yeah,
Geelong.
south of Melbourne in Victoria, 49 players. We do have the list. We're probably going to do a list review show on it, which will be super cool and fun. Thank you for sending us the list. Appreciate it loads. I have no idea what those lists are going to be because based on no data I've had for months, I can't imagine what those lists will look like. It'll be a shock to the system to finally see what some interesting what this will look like.
Yeah.
There's also an event in Copenhagen.
Yes, there is. This is a TTS event, talking about the great Bray Shaman Host Arcanum combo Archeon list that we were looking at about 5 minutes ago. Casper, who was on the stream, he's taken up the TO mantle, and he's so Casper Agdal, he's
Nice.
going to be putting on. Yeah, Battle of Copenhagen. I've been sent the pack. He's got like preset terrain maps. Every round is going to be in a different realm. It looks like him and his crew have put a lot of work in so far. So yeah, and this is the first like a TTS weekender, so 2 day event. So that's on the 6th and 7th of March. I'll put some links in the chat now to I won't spam his Discord, but basically I'll put links to my Discord, and you can actually get through to there if you wanted to. So yeah, that looks great. I've signed up for that. You should play, Rob, or yeah, if you want to play, why
I would
not?
love to. I would love
Throw
to.
down.
Like, it's one of my things. I kind of want to run, like, on the breakfast battles, I definitely don't want to run any, like, the pro lists or, like, the strengths, but I would like to understand both the strengths and weaknesses, some of the bigger lists. I'd like to play some Lumineth just to get my head around it. I think that would be really fun, and play some games. Like, I wouldn't go, like, something similar to what we saw earlier, I think would be super fun to play with. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna sign up for that. When we'll talk about that after, and that'll be fun. So
Yeah,
yeah.
in a month's time, basically. It's
Oh,
sixth
ages.
and
Yeah,
seventh. So yeah, it's a month from this coming weekend. And then talking of this weekend, was a drum roll, by the way. That was awful. Then yeah, we're gonna do Hammer Time
on.
Weekender this
I want to
weekend,
talk
aren't we,
about this
Rob?
more in a minute, but can I just say to everyone in the chat who every time they jump in, they see it's Owen and they're like shocked that they get to see Owen Jackson because it's obviously incredible he's here. I'm as excited as everyone. Please continue this meme because it's
Please
my
don't.
favorite.
Shut up, Rob.
Anytime you see him anywhere and you're like, oh, is that Owen Jackson? Is my favorite because he hates it and I love it and he does loads for the community and I'll fight people in the street about how amazing he is. So just, I love that stuff. It's the best. Jokes that I'm only here as like a sidekick. Love that stuff. The Owen Jackson. Keep it up. Yeah, Mere Mouse, you got it. We're all doing it. Let's go. So appreciate you all. You're great. thanks, dude. Our day. Appreciate
this
you.
This is my face when you talk about how great I am.
It's going to be awful when you go to events in real life in the future. You're going to fucking hate it. People will shout it from the sides. It's going to be so good. The one and only. Thank you, Planchette. Right. So, yeah, this weekend, the Owen Jackson is running two events. Is that correct?
Yep. I'm a glutton for punishment. And if it carries on like this, I'm not going to run any events, okay? Oh, I'm joking. It's all good. Anyway, yes. So, we're going to be doing some coverage, aren't we? Rob? Yeah, actually, I like that. Just as many people who are like, holy shit, and all this stuff, and you're having fun. If you look at the YouTube comments, there's a few people who are like, who the hell is Owen Jackson? I've Googled him. What are you people on about? I don't get it.
I want everyone to dog on that person when they're like, who is Owen Jackson? It's just like, you bastard. Right, okay.
So this weekend we've got two events, and even though it doesn't matter, obviously, Rob, it doesn't matter at all. We may as well just be making this all up. We may as well. There are 104 people signed up, but, you know, obviously...
Wow,
you know,
that's amazing. Yeah. That's super cool. Yeah, so we're going to be doing live coverage. I have asked Vince. I saw Colonel Cabbage just in the chat. He's busy this weekend. Him and Tom are spending the week together. Right? Obviously, you don't want to stop them cuddling. So he's not. But we've got some great commentators going to be on this weekend. I'm very much looking forward to it. So Saturday's competitive day, where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. We're going to make it as fun as possible. Have a great old time. And then Sunday is all fun, the Mega Gargant event. So again, we're just going to have fun. So it's going to be fun all weekend. You'll get some competitive look-ins on the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, you'll get us hanging out, which will be super cool. So you should join us for a whole weekend of live coverage. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be super fun. Obviously, we're going to look at the lists at some point. Obviously, we're going to look at, like, I'll do some breakdown videos of exactly what's going on. So it's going to be, the links will be in the chat now. They'll be in the show notes. So if you guys don't want to take part, then, if you guys want to take part, then, you know, jump in there. If you don't want to take part, though, and you just want to hang out with us and watch some games and talk smack about Warhammer, then that is the place to be. It's going to be a great time. So tune in. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Owen, are you hyped about the whole process?
Yeah. I think the more players that sign up, then the sort of more queries and stuff you have. But yeah, it's all good. A couple of people are asking. So yeah, I've put some links in the chat there. You can still sign up if you want to. You'll be more than welcome. There are 73 players for the Saturday and 31 for the Sunday. And yeah, I think we'll maybe talk about some lists on Friday, Rob. All the lists are in. Sign up is by Wednesday at midnight UK time. So I'll have a day to look through the lists on the Thursday, and then we'll have a chin wag on Friday, perhaps. Grenaldi, every hammer time is on my work weekend. Damn it. Okay, I'll try and figure something out. But also, Von Small in the chat. I have done this once before, and maybe it might be an idea. What do you think about this, Rob? He's saying the top third into a final one day to find a true winner. Don't want to risk anyone joining in just for the fun of it.
I like that idea.
What do you reckon?
I like the idea. Or you could go for a top eight. Top eight is a big one, and then it's what them pros do over at the ITC. Been Salty Games Workshop, by the way, just in case anyone didn't know. So you could take that top eight, and then you could do a knockout. That's pretty fun. Like, add some big spice drama, and I'll do the coverage for the top eight. If that's interesting, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Because I did do it once before where we skimmed off, I believe it was the top 12, and they all then battled it out. But it wasn't in a knockout. But yeah, let's do top 8 knockout. Okay, deal. Nice one. Thanks, chat. We'll do that. So yeah, the top 8 from Hammer Time 7 will go forward to a knockout day.
With multi-table coverage from the Honest Wargamer. Let me just check my calendar.
Yes.
I'm free.
Hold on. Yeah, me too. All right, deal. But we will still have a true winner on Saturday, and that winner will go away with a Start Collecting box of their choice, sponsored by the Bad Moon Cafe. Thanks, boys. Whee! And then the Sunday, we're giving away a Mega Gargant to the winner, as sponsored by the Priority Roll podcast.
Do you know what? I'm gonna 100% commit now, Owen. I'm gonna also produce some IRL trophies. Like, should be hard to do for the 3D printers to produce. Should be super easy. It's a job on my list of things to do for the TSN anyway. So I'll cycle that forward. So I'll produce some trophies. Super easy.
That's great. Thank you, Rob.
It's my pleasure. 3D printers go burr.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So we're going to have some trophies and some other bits and bobs. Maybe we could 3D print the world's tiniest violin for somebody if they've got any problems.
For the wooden spoon?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't like the spoon. The spoon is, I'm not down for the spoon. Yeah, I don't like to highlight people's failure. That's, yeah, anyway.
I hear you.
Yeah, you hear me. So, yeah, I think that's it. Got a week of prep. I think we're going to throw some toys at each other tomorrow morning, aren't we?
We are tomorrow. So you're playing Nighthaunt. Get ready.
Okay, wow. Good job I haven't invested
yeah,
in
wow.
Well, I'm going to play Living City, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I've got you tomorrow. I'm like, eh. Then I'm playing against Spiderfang, so Adam Spiderfang on Wednesday, and I'm like, well, that would just be awful, but for both players. And then Thursday, I'm playing against Patrick Summer of the Players. I'm just like, oh my god, at least I start Bravery 10. No, ghosts aren't even Bravery 10.
I do appreciate the fact that you've really wanted to get that Briar Queen on the table and know that she's a wizard. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
take make it in the list.
Dusting off that the Nighthaunt.
I tried to get her in the list, but she's so bad. Anyway,
sorry,
that's fine. So yeah, so tune in tomorrow morning. Tune in this weekend. Tune in tomorrow. Tune in tonight on the Age of Sigmar show. That's going to be fun. Thank you to Owen. And again, if you're in a local community, if you've got a community somewhere in the world that's going to have real events at some point, that's playing some local TTSs, we do have Discord set up. And I'm going to make sure that's a little, after this show, I'm going to make sure it's a little bit better set up. But I would love more info to come in from that. So if you guys want to, like, stuff, like, you know, put some stuff in there, like, when events come out, like, there's going to be loads of data. So we're going to try and, like, organize it a little bit better. So it would be super fun to hear from you guys around the world. So thank you. You're all brilliant. What's the Discord? I'll put it in the... I haven't got it set up right now on this computer because I've got to log in. But I'll sort it out and we'll do that later. Owen, you got any shout-outs before we head out today?
Going to shout-out Kathy Vantarella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was great. Great intro.
She's right here. Yeah, that was glorious. No, I'll just shout you out, Rob. Well,
I'll
done,
shout
brother.
You out, Owen. You're great.
Keep doing
right.
what you're doing.
Yeah, you're all great. We'll see you guys soon. Have a nice day. See you tonight if you want to join us for the show. Thanks for tuning in and making those numbers higher. It's massively appreciated. Thanks to everyone on Patreon. That's massively appreciated. You're all brilliant. Don't forget, Warhammer's really fun. You guys are really great, but the community is wonderful. So see you guys soon and have a great day. Thank you.